When your air conditioner quits, you need it fixed. Fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win a BBB Torch Award for ethics and be recognized as Lennox's Partner of the Year in 2024. So call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
And welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM and Hits 103.9 FM here in Accra, on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, and streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, X Spaces, and YouTube. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations, including Radio Max in Takrady, ATL FM in Cape Coast, Volta Premier 98.1 in Ho, Radio Justice Tamale, Jakma FM Wipe, KTU Radio Kuforidia, Sky 96.7 in Sunyang, and Dreams FM Bolgatanga. Coming up, transport operators warn commuters to brace for a possible fare increase in fuel as fuel prices are projected to rise sharply tomorrow, accusing government of failing to deliver on its promise to reduce prices at the pumps.
If it happens that the fuel price goes up again, it's likely that, you know, there is going to be a fare increment here. But now that, you know, there is an indication that it's likely for the fuel to go up again, we can go there and we'll make them understand that from where things are going, it's difficult to handle it.
Also, Attorney General's attempt to keep the acquitted and discharged Sedina Tamaklo Ationu behind bars in limbo, with Supreme Court not sitting today ahead of 2 months' legal vacation. This afternoon, government agrees to the election of MMDCEs across the country at once, rejecting the committee's proposal for a phased implementation.
The government takes the position that all district chief executives should be elected, creating a distinction between voting and non-voting districts carries significant political costs.
Details as the proposed arrangement allows the president to nominate five persons with three qualifying to contest the election after vetting. And the Joy News Democracy's Not For Sale program is tonight to tell you all about it. And later, preparations underway at the Mewa Palace in Yendi for the enskillment of the regent Kampakuyana following the passing of the late overlord of Dagbon, Yana Abukari Mahama II. We take you live to the Mewa Palace for more. And something to raise a cap to: a new research is showing that drinking up to 5 cups of coffee per day may potentially lower your risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes.
Studies suggest coffee may even be linked to a lower risk of heart disease, heart failure, stroke, and type 2 diabetes for some people.
These and more with me, Gemma Appiah. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. Well, the Ghana Private Road Transport Union says a fresh increase in transport fares is not likely if fuel prices rise again, insisting government has not fulfilled its commitment to work towards reducing prices at the pumps. The operators say they suspended their proposed 30% fare increase after assurances from the Transport Ministry that measures were being taken to bring fuel prices down. We'll hear from the GPR to you shortly. Before that, though, here's the news desk report on what is likely to happen at the pumps tomorrow.
Based on data secured from the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies, petrol could go up by more than 7%, resulting in a litre being sold at 15 Ghana cedis 23 pesos. Diesel will witness one of its biggest increase in recent times, and it is projected to go up by 12.5%, resulting in a litre going for 17 Ghana cedis 45 pesos. However, based on our engagement with some of the oil marketing companies, there are strong indications that some of them might be quoting far higher than what has been projected. If all the oil marketing companies should go up by Monday, then that could strengthen the hands of the transport operators to push for an increase in fares in the coming days.
Now, Deputy National Public Relations Officer for the GPRTU, Samuel Amo, says the leadership of the union will assess the new pump prices before meeting the ministry early next week to determine the way forward.
What we are hearing from the MPA means that it's likely that the diesel will go up by 18% and then the petrol will also go up by 9.4%. If it happens like that, then it means that the current price that we are buying is going to go high and it's going to affect us so much. And prior to that too, then it means the promise that they give to us, they were not able to fulfill the promise. So it's clear that, after their daily work, they can't even fill their tanks now to get money to do their sales. So we just want to see the reflection at the pump. When we go to the pump and we see the changes, the leadership will step down, then a decision will be taken. We can't just come out without, meeting the transport ministry. We'll again meet them, then we'll take it from there. But it's likely, if it happens that the fuel price goes up again, it's likely that, there is going to be a fair increment here. The first meeting, we proposed 30%, and then we're asked to hold on. But now that, there is an indication that it's likely for the fuel to go up again, we can go there, and we'll make them understand that from how or from where things are going, it's difficult to handle it, the way they want us to. So we'll increase. So to arrive at a percentage, we'll still, negotiate and come up with a certain percentage that will help the drivers.
You had the deputy PRO for the GPRTU, Samuel Amwa. My colleague Stephen Mensah joins me in studio with more. Stephen, transport operators are suggesting that another fare increase may now be unavoidable. What has changed since they suspended the proposed 30% increment?
Well, Gemma, when they proposed the 30% increment, that was somewhere on Monday. And since then, the NPA has announced revised price floors for petroleum products. And we know that for fuel has been increased from 14 cedis 35 pesos to about 16 cedis 97 pesos per liter. And petrol's price floor has also risen from 13 cedis 28 pesos to 14 cedis 53 pesos. For LPG, we understand the approved price floor is now 11.06 per kilogram, and it is part of NPA's revised price floor for petroleum products.
Thank you very much, Stephen Mensah. Tonight, before the Attorney General's attempt to keep acquitted and discharged former Maslok CEO Sedina Tamakluatienu in prison is facing a major setback, with the Supreme Court not sitting today, the final day of the legal year. The Court of Appeal on Thursday unanimously quashed her conviction and sentence after finding that the state had failed to prove its case against her. The court also found defects in several of the charges on which the prosecution had relied. The Attorney General moved swiftly, filing a notice of appeal against the decision and subsequently applying to the Supreme Court for a stay of execution of the Court's of Appeals judgment. But with the Supreme Court now heading into its legal vacation, the timing of the application has become critical and could determine whether Sedina Tamakluatienu remains in custody or walks out of prison pending the AG's appeal. Kwaku Asante of our Legal Affairs Dex joins me with more. Kweku, take us through the AG's application for a stay of execution. What is the return date and why is it unlikely that the Supreme Court will hear the application before going on the legal vacation? Kweku, do I have you on the line? Kindly unmute for me. So we're still working to get connected to Kweku Asante to give us a breakdown of the application that has been filed by the Attorney General to keep Madame Atienu behind bars pending the hearing of the notice of appeal filed by the AG. As and when we get Kweku Asante on the line, we'll bring you that report. But let's take you to other stories. The government has accepted a key recommendation of the Constitution Review Committee to elect all metropolitan, municipal and district district chief executives as part of its proposed constitutional reforms. However, unlike the committee's proposal for a phased implementation based on the fiscal capacity of individual districts, the government has opted for nationwide elections. Presenting the government's position paper on the committee's recommendations on Thursday, the AG, Dr. Dominic Ayene, said the government had gone a step further by rejecting the committee's proposal for a phased rollout.
The government has gone further than the committee. The committee recommended a phased approach under which the right to elect a DC would be tied to a district's fiscal capacity, so that some districts would vote and others would not. The government takes the position that all district chief executives should be elected. Creating a distinction between voting and non-voting districts carries significant political costs and, of course, social costs as well, and may be perceived as discriminatory against citizens of non-voting districts. Under the government proposal, the president will nominate 5 persons, 2 of whom shall be women. Out of the 5, 3 shall be shortlisted, 1 of whom shall be a woman, after vetting by a committee drawn from the Ministry of Local Government, the Public Services Commission, and the Local Government Service. Those 3 will then be candidates for election as district chief executive or municipal or metropolitan chief executive.
You heard the Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayene. Let's go back to our earlier story and speak to Kwaku Asante to give us the details of the application for the stay of execution filed by the Attorney General in the Sedina Tamaklu Ationu's case. Kwaku, what is the return date and why is it unlikely that the Supreme Court will hear the application before going on legal vacation?
Well, just hours after the Attorney General filed notice of appeal, they followed with an application to stay the execution of the judgment of the Court of Appeal. But as you may know, and as a lot of people who follow proceedings in the courts do know, the Superior Courts of Judicature are proceeding on legal vacation for the next 2 months. That is the High Court, Court of Appeal, and the Supreme Court. And to make matters worse, today being Friday, prior to the Court of Appeal decision coming, the Supreme Court had already decided through the Chief Justice that the courts were not going to sit today because of the Thanksgiving service following the successful celebration of the Supreme Court of Ghana 150th anniversary, which concluded this week. And so the Thanksgiving service did happen ahead of the legal vacation. That means it is impossible to get a panel of the Supreme Court to sit on the application to hear this matter and make an order, which will...
Hello, Kwaku.
Until it is heard.
What are we learning about the efforts by lawyers for Sedina Tamaklu Ationu to secure her release following the Court of Appeals decision?
Well, shortly after the judgment was given, we understand that the lawyers are working to draw down the judgment and serve it on the prison service for the release of Sedina Tamaklu Ationu. If she were in court yesterday, she would have walked freely right after the judgment. But because she was not brought to court yesterday, prior to the judgment being read by the Court of Appeal, the judgment would have to be served on the prison service before she can be released. And we understand that is in process as we speak.
Thank you very much, Kwaku Asante. Let's speak to private legal practitioner Martin Pibu on this. Martin, welcome to the news. If the Supreme Court is unlikely to hear the application for the stay before the legal vacation, is there any legal impediment to Sedina Tamaklu Ationu being released from prison following her acquittal and discharge? Hello, do I have Martin Pegu on the line? Kindly unmute for me if you can hear me. Well, I'm struggling to hear Martin Pegu. I think he's on the line, but we can't hear him, unfortunately. We'll bring you that as and when we get him on the line. You're still listening to the Midday News on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra and Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, as well as affiliates across the country. Now, an anti-corruption campaigner, Edem Senanu, has noted extending the presidential and parliamentary terms will not fix the issue of political campaigning period, which he says affects fulfillment of development agenda. Yesterday, the Attorney General, Dr. Ayene, announced at the Government Accountability Series the government had accepted the proposal by the Constitution Review Committee to extend the presidential term of Ghana from 4 to 5 years. This was part of many proposals accepted by the government. And now we would bring you shortly what the details are. But reacting to this, Edem Senanu noted that the tenure is not the challenge, but the unlimited campaign period. Listen.
Extending the period has some logic to it. The challenge I see, I feel our political campaign period is too long. We spend a year, sometimes even 2 years. So the costs escalate phenomenally. So my thinking is we'll fix the political campaign season and have sanctions for anybody who starts earlier than that, so that it cuts down the cost dramatically. My worry is you can add a year and potentially they will now be doing 2.5 to 3 years political campaign.
So you had anti-corruption campaigner Edem Senanu. My colleague Fatal Bayaga joins me today with details of the major key reforms. Fatal, let us in more on what the AG said.
So Gemma, there are four main pointers here. The tenure, that's the first one, tenure changes. The AG mentioned an extension of the presidential and parliamentary mandate from 4 years to 5 years. That's retaining the two-term limit. Two, age limit. The amendment here is for a reduction of the minimum age requirement to run for president from 40 years to 35 years. And then on election timing, future presidential polls would be held in the first week of
November. When your air conditioner quits, you need it fixed. Fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win a BBB Torch Award for ethics and be recognized as Lennox's Partner of the Year in 2024. So call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
November to widen the transition gap between the January 7 inauguration.
Thank you very much, Fatal Bayaga. Let's bring in a senior lecturer of the Department of Political Science at the University of Ghana, Professor Kwame Asasante. Welcome to the news. Does this proposal represent a genuine transfer of power to the local level?
Good afternoon, my sister. And a quick correction. I'm not a professor. I'm a doctor. So we move on.
Well noted, sir.
The transfer of power, if you look at whether it's genuine to the local authorities. The intention may be good, but there's no effort to actualize it. In fact, the same order, the old order, is what remains. Look at the system. You want to empower local people. And here you want to nominate 5 people. And look, the statement from government didn't indicate to us whether those people are going to be nominated from the winning party or opposition party or a mixture of this. We don't know. But if we take it that you are going to nominate from that winning party, then we have come to the old order. Nothing has changed. All that we are telling us is that now you are going to allow us to vote for who becomes a DP, but from, say, NDC or from MPP, which has won power. And that's not what we want. We want the new and proper transfer of power to the people, where we have our own people contesting from different parties, and then we vote for them, and whoever emerges becomes a DC. So if the government is interested in bringing power to the doorstep of the ordinary people, I expect them that saying that if you are going to nominate 5 people, they will come from MPP, NDC, CPP, NDC, whatever. That's the first genuine step. The second one is that you also want to cure You want to whittle it down, the 5 suits, I think 3. And the 3, you are saying that 2 will be men and 1 will be a woman. I disagree. This is a country we want to encourage women to take high political offices. And this is a great opportunity for the government to say that out of that 3, 2 will be women and 1 will be a man. Then we are serious about what, bridging that gap. Otherwise, for me, it is just the old order that remains.
Beyond the MMDC debates, what do you make of government accepting the extension of the presidential term limit from 4 to 5 years?
I disagree. I still believe that it should be 4 years. Yes. The 4 years has served this country and will continue to serve us better. If we have leaders who will do their own research, know what policy they want to implement, and will not come into government and be experimenting. No. You do all the spade work before winning power, so that once you win power, you know within 3 months, you put a government into office, and then you begin to work. Yes, you work first year, you work second year. And then if we go by that recommendations, which says that we are going to have election period, so that, yes, when there is a campaign period, we campaign. Beyond that, we'll work. So that we don't reduce governance to only election. That, look, they don't do anything in the first year in the name of putting a government into office. Second year, they will become to be pretending to be doing something. And then the third year, they go into election mode, full gear. And then the fourth year, they vote. Please, the people of this country, we are being shortchanged. The earlier they took a better decision relative to this, the better. We want them to what? Maintain the fall and then do all the homework before coming, and don't come to experiment. We are sick and tired about that.
Thank you very much, Dr. Asa Sante. The stage is set for the next edition of the highest campaign against vote buying, happening today in the Volta region. The initiative, dubbed Democracy is Not for Sale, will bring together citizens, political actors and key institutions to examine how vote buying and campaign financing are shaping democratic outcomes. Ahead of the engagement, a Joy News research team has been on the ground in Ho, interacting with residents and gathering data to reflect citizen perspectives on money in politics. A data and research analyst here at Joy News, who has been on the ground in Ho, engaging residents ahead of the forum, Maxwell Aklobotu, joins me now with more. Maxwell, from your feedback or field work here in Ho, what stands out most about the citizens' perception about vote buying?
Yeah, Gemma, we've been interacting with over 200 citizens of Ho, and then we've actually gotten interesting views when it comes to vote buying and democracy in the city. And one of the key interesting things that I would like to speak about has to do with the Supreme Court decision this week, which has to do with internal elections, and then how almost every registered member of the party has the right to actually vote in terms of internal elections. And most of these individuals, the citizens who have been saying this will actually help when it comes to regulating the use of money to induce voters to actually exercise their franchise in favor of them, because it's going to be more cost effective. I mean, they are going to spend more. If you are looking at, you've been looking at maybe 500 people in the constituency, now you are going to look at over 1,000 people to actually buy their vote. So this is going to help them. That's what we've been gathering as of from Monday.
Were there any concern patterns that emerged from your engagement with the residents?
Yeah, Gemma, you know, it has to do with, first, I would like to speak about their perception when it comes to accepting money from candidates who are going to stand for positions. They said for them, majority of them said they are going to receive the money. And as of yesterday, our analysis showed that the young generation, young voters, those who are within the ages of 18 and then 25, saying that they will actually receive the money. But when it's time for voting, that's where they will have to vote or exercise their franchise in favor of who they believe is going to work, irrespective of the amount given to them. So, in fact, across all age groups, majority of them are saying that they'll receive the money, but the key issue has to do with the 18 to 25 years of voters who are saying that for them, they'll receive the money, but when it's time for voting, then they will have to vote for who they believe, whether you've given them money or not. They will vote for who will do the work for them.
The event is at 4 p.m. How ready are we?
Gemma, we are all set here in Ho at the Freedom Hotel, and everything is on point. We are just waiting for the time to actually commence. Everything will be coming to you live on Joy News and then Joy FM and across all our socials as well. Everything is on point. Guests will be arriving any moment from now, and it's going to be an interesting conversation. It will be people-centered, and in fact, we hear more from the people of Ho rather than just presenting what we found to them.
Thank you very much, Maxwell Akloboto. Now, Democracy is Not for Sale Regional Citizens and Politicians Forum is brought to you by the Joy News Impact Makers Foundation. Make a date with us today at 4 p.m. Join the conversation live from Ho on all our social media platforms and on Joy News TV and Joy FM. Let's take a break now. We are back with more stories.